I wanted to talk to all you guys today during this conference call about unique positioning, how you use it more effectively. I know we harp on it a lot at the boot camp, and it ends up being, I find it ends up being one of the parts of being a destination business that is probably most confusing. And so what I did today is I wanted to talk about this briefly. And by the way, everything I'm going to talk about today, you don't have to write like mad unless you have some kind of a revelation. But I'm going to post these notes as a PDF file on our Gold Level website, and so you'll be able to go there and you'll be able to download these and kind of follow along with the things I'm talking about. But when we talk about our unique positioning, one of the questions that I get, and I get this a lot during all our call-in days, when people are designing their ad campaigns, people will say things to me like, well, my unique positioning is this, and they will say a statement, it's more like a tagline. And then sometimes I get calls from people that say, I want to work on my unique positioning, and we want to develop a logo. So what I thought it'd be really important to do is to kind of talk a little bit about the differences between all of these things, logos, taglines, and unique positioning. Now, let me real quick read some of these to you. I just grabbed my local paper this morning because I wanted to look for companies that had logos that were very identifiable, because really a logo, when you think about a logo, it's like a mini advertisement. It's how you visually represent your company's name, and ideally that look should somehow reflect to consumers what you do as a business. So let me read a couple of these taglines, and if you're not muted, yell out if you know what the name of the company is. All right, here's a tagline underneath a logo that I pulled out this morning. It says, "Where America takes its digital pictures." What company is that? Any guesses?
Kodak.
Hooters.
Hooters.
Is that what you said? No, what did you say? Say it again. Well, I'll tell you what it is. It's Walgreens, which I would have never have known without looking right at it. Walgreens drugstore. Now, here's one. You guys should be able to get this one. You can do it. We can help.
Home Depot.
Home Depot. Yep, you got that one right. That one's pretty grilled into us. All right, here's another one. Where It Begins. What national company has spent millions on the tagline, Where It Begins? This is Sears, and that might account for why it's not doing real well. Let's do this one. Here's one you might get. Let's build something together.
Lowe's.
You got it. Yep. All right. Now, here's another tagline of a local store, and I'll tell you the name. It's called Floor and Decor, and their tagline is, Now You're On to Something. Okay, so whatever that take. Here's a local hospital around us. Now all these are in the same newspaper, right? Our local newspaper here. The Boulder Community Foothills Hospital, the best place to get better. All right. Now do you notice how all of those taglines all say something about the business, but unless they're really grilled into our heads, like Home Depot and Lowe's, they really don't have much value. In fact, Walgreens tagline, Where America Takes Its Digital Pictures, they're hoping you will read that and that tagline will become that extra information that clarifies what the company's doing. So you've got a logo, which is kind of a mini advertisement. It's a visual representation of your company. And all of you can picture the Home Depot logo, the Lowe's logo, the Sears logo, the Walgreens script letters. That's a logo. Then a tagline is something that's memorable and ideally emotional, and it's an extra information that will help clarify the company's position. And if done correctly, if advertised enough, we start remembering it. So you see things like when we talk about the Lowe's, let's build something together, and Home Depot, you can do it, we can help. We've heard it so much, we remember it. When you come to something like Sears, where it says Where It Begins, we're clueless. We don't have any concept of what that is. Now, these taglines and these logos that I've just highlighted here have nothing to do really with your unique positioning. Your unique positioning has to be more of a descriptive paragraph, ideally I think a 2 to 4 paragraph statement that you're going to be able to use to say how you're different. And the key here is that you want that first line, that first sentence of the unique positioning to really declare how your business is different from every other business that you're competing with or every other business in your industry. So if you look at some of these taglines, Sears, where it begins, Walgreens, where America takes its digital pictures, it doesn't tell you how it's different. It doesn't tell you how the company is different. Boulder Community Foothills Hospital, the best place to get better. That doesn't tell me why I should prefer this hospital over another. It gives me a warm, fuzzy, emotional feeling from that. I think, oh, I should go there. So it can have some power and some strength, but it doesn't really make it very clear to the consumer why you should go there. Now, let me read you a couple of other ones. There's one, we had a local advertisement in the paper. It was called the Law Directory, and its unique positioning is, it says, it's your resource for locating a lawyer in your community. Okay, so you're pretty clear. You read, you see the name of the company, Law Directory, and then you have a descriptive sentence that says what they are. Here's another one. There's a seed company that was advertising in our local paper called the Arkansas Valley Seed Company, and underneath it, it has a little logo with a rabbit, and it says reliable service. And then underneath it, it says supplying quality seed with integrity since 1945. Now, in that sentence, supplying quality seed with integrity since 1945, there are other companies that probably supply seed in the area, but this points out their longevity, that they've been in business all these years. It's not as great of a unique positioning as some of you have and as some of you are wanting to develop. So what you try to do, you try, when we think about unique positioning, you want to make sure you're not using the blah generalities of words. You want to make sure you are not using the words like we're high quality and we give great service and we have super selection, all of those things. You want to try to use words that are going to be representative of how you are totally different. So that's why it's so important to go through the 24 questions in the bootcamp binder, and whether you do it with by pouring wine for your staff or whether you do it by just turning on the handheld recorder, it's really important to have those statements. And those 24 questions that we got at the boot camp, they're designed to make you think. It's designed to make you think about, you know, what's the emotion you want customers to feel when they enter your doors? And then when you think about, you know, other things, you know, how are your products different? How are your services different? If you think about some of these taglines, one of the questions was, how long has your business been a part of the community? This little Arkansas Valley Seed Company, we've been supplying quality seed with integrity since 1945. That plays off of that. But when you go through, you know, what contributions do you make to your community? What groups and charities do you support? What contributions do your employees make? How are your customers different? What's the history of your business? When you go through all of those questions and you start defining how you are different, you should ideally be able to come up with this first line and then this 2 to 4 paragraph statement. Now, do any of you who are on the call feel like you've got a good enough unique positioning statement for your business, that good first sentence, that you'd want to share it with the group on the call today? If you do, hit *6, unmute yourself, and go ahead and announce it. How about you, Linda? Are you unmuted?
I'm unmuted, but I'm eating my salad.
Okay. We will let you chime in after the salad, unless you've chewed it up. Have you chewed it up?
No, I have, yeah.
Okay. What's your unique positioning? I'm glad you were.
Go. Hollywood is a one-stop cultural arts education center servicing all forms of arts education for children, toddlers, through seniors.
Great. Awesome. Now, if you listen to Linda's statement, read the first part, or do it from memory again, just the very first part.
The Arts Academy of Hollywood is a one-stop cultural arts education facility.
Good. Okay. If you notice in that statement, the most powerful word in that statement is it's the one stop. All right? What she says is this is one place you can come to for everything. All right? Which brings me to my next point about your unique positioning. One of the easiest ways to build your unique positioning is to start by declaring your singular difference, how you are different than anybody else. All right, so we're going to do some of these on the phone with all of us here. And what I want you to do is, even if right now in your business you say, you know, I'm not one of a kind, I'm not different from everybody. What I want you to do is kind of grab your pen and paper, and I want you to kind of play along by creating these phrases with your own business. All right, so we're going to start with this one. You are the world's only what? All right, somebody throw out something about your business that you can declare that you're the world's only blank.
Gift specialist.
You're the world's only gift specialist, all right? And now, Sandra, if you wanted that one to work, you'd have to be more specific. You'd have to be the world's only gift specialist who can blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, I mean, it's got to be something else, because that difference, when you declare that difference, it's got to be believable, all right? Anybody else? The world's only? Come on.
The world's only arts education destination servicing people from birth through seniors.
Right. Birth to just before death. And, yeah, that would get attention. No, that's great. Anybody else? The world's only. Teresa, how about yours? You can do this. I know you can. Okay, let's go to the next one. The state's only.
I was muted.
Oh, you were muted. How about the world's only?
Well, I can't come up with the world's only.
Make it up.
Okay.
Just make one up.
The world's only standalone retail martial arts store that is bilingual.
Yeah, flip it around. The world's only bilingual standalone martial arts store.
There we go.
Okay, so there you got it. All right. And by taking that claim, you're not only... you're now courting two different customer groups, and you are declaring yourself one of a kind, and you're basically challenging your competition to either stand up and challenge you or be better. And the thing about this is your competition generally will not stand up and do that. Anybody else want to do the world's only? Okay, let's go to a smaller one. The state's only. Your state's only what? Go on. Somebody contribute. You can make it up. All right. I don't want to have to call on you guys. The state's...
the state's only wall of mirrors.
The state's... well, that could be the world's... that could be the world's only. Or the state's only full-service mirror engraving store. Or the state's only... yeah. Wall of mirrors. That would be fine. How about Taylene, you're clearly the state's only coffee and scrapbooking store. All right, let's do another one. Now they're gonna get easier. This one is the home of. When you say you're the home of something, it gives you a lot of latitude, because it doesn't have to be we're the home of the largest display. It doesn't have to be specific. It can be more generalized. So somebody build a statement, build a unique positioning statement, first sentence, with the home of.
We're the home of Tears of Gettysburg.
Okay, and now, good example, Tears of Gettysburg is your famous wine, right?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
And your famous, see, and that's a good example of a, if they've been to your place before, if they've been to the Adams County Winery before, if they have walked through your doors and picked up your catalog and gone to your website and taste of the product, they probably know what Tears of Gettysburg are. So that's an example of the scope of a brand. See, if some people on the call, I'm sure, who didn't know that it was a wine, went, what? You know, what is the Tears of Gettysburg? So what you would want to do is you would want to enhance that. The home of Tears of Gettysburg's, the one-of-a-kind wine, Tears of Gettysburg, something like that, all right? Somebody else, the home of?
Home of the frozen chicken smoothie.
Do you, Steve, do you really have that?
Yeah, it's a blended white mocha with a Chico stick in it.
Wow, now that...
That's a plastic candy.
That sounds disgusting. The world's... what's it? What'd you say? The world's... The home of...
Home of the frozen chicken smoothie.
Man. Man, that just... That's just vivid. You could do cool t-shirts with that and cool signage and bumper stickers. I mean, that's great. Anybody else? The home of...
Home of the most unique gourmet kitchen collection and culinary inspiration in the Mountain West.
Yep. Good. Good. That's a real good one, Cindy. And what really makes it work is in the Mountain West, because I like when you say the Mountain West. It's vague. You don't say Wyoming. You don't say it just sounds like it's so vast that it's got to be true. Let's do it. Anybody else got another home of the home of?
Home of the largest selection of collectibles.
That's not bad, Catherine. I mean, that's not bad, Sandra. The home of... See, I think you could do something, Sandra, with specialized gifts. I think you could do something with that. The home of that one-of-a-kind gift that... I don't know. I think you could take that and mold that a little bit. Somebody else just came in. Who just joined us?
Melinda Vitale.
Hey, Melinda. How you doing?
Great.
Good. What we're talking about is building your unique positioning statement, and we're talking about using one word. I'm giving you one word intros, and then people are completing them. We'll let you kind of get acclimated, and then we'll let you throw in a few. Now, how about this one? The birthplace of that. You're the birthplace of what?
The Republican Party.
There you go. That's Jan up in Ripon, Wisconsin. The birthplace of the Republican Party. Anybody else? The birthplace of. Now the fun with this one is you can create something yourself. So Steve, yours could be the birthplace of the, what was it? Cold chicken smoothie?
Frozen chicken smoothie.
Frozen chicken smoothie. Okay. So the birthplace of this is, now this gives you latitude to create your own product line. The birthplace of, so for me, it'd be the birthplace of destination businesses. It could be the birthplace of, somebody throw one out.
Good cooking. I don't know.
I appreciate your contribution. But, that's Cindy, right?
Yeah.
You had a better one about Western cooking we talked about. How did you say that one? The birthplace of?
It was like adventurous.
Outdoor Western cooking?
Right, outdoor Western cooking.
Something like that, yeah. And what you'll notice is the more specific you make the last part of this, the better it works. Let's do another one. The official what? Who's got one? The official home of, the official place for, the official beginning spot, the official home for Cindy, it could be you, for the official home of brides starting their ideal kitchen. All right? You can use these words, the official. All right, let's go to some...
I got an official.
Go ahead.
The official destination of expression.
Now, that could be really wide. You know, I mean, that could be...
Uh-oh, did I get myself in trouble?
I don't know. You really have a lot of latitude there. The official destination of expression, man, it sounds fun. You might want to narrow that one down. You might want to be more specific on the expression. All right, let's talk about now what makes this sentence more powerful. You start throwing in, we talked about this, the provable adjectives, all right, where you say, you can say, we are definitely... have this, and it could actually be measured or quantified where people would believe you. So let's talk about provable adjectives. Let's use the largest. We are, or we have, the largest what? Somebody throw something out.
We have the largest selection of willow trees.
in
collection of children's literature.
Largest selection of children's literature. Great.
Yep.
Largest. Yours is good too, Sandra. And you could even expand
it. It could be collectibles, I guess, too.
Yeah, it can be in Canada. It could be in North America. Okay. Go ahead. The largest.
Largest selection of bottled sodas.
Great. In Northern California, if you want it, and tie it in. Okay, how about the oldest? We are the oldest.
We have the oldest original storefront in Hanford.
Hanford, California, great. Mm-hmm. How about the longest? We have the longest Cheddar's General Store. We have the longest candy counter in the world. All right, 111 feet, 11 and 3/4 inches. We have the longest, anybody else? How about the first? Let's do the first. This is another. We're the first. What? I need to send all of you Red Bull before we do this again. We are the first. We're the first cooking store in Laramie, Wyoming. We're the first. Anybody else got a first?
We're the first to offer complimentary gift wrapping on every item you buy.
That's good. That was really good. How about we're the last? We're the last. Nobody. How about the smallest? We have the. How could you leverage smallest into being a positive? Anybody? Any thoughts? I've got one. I saw one that was just great. That I'm going to tell you about if you don't come up with something. The smallest. We have the smallest. Well, I was down in Key West and I saw Key West's smallest bar, and their claim to fame was that if you come here, you'll know everybody in the bar within minutes. And the place was literally it was an entryway for another bar. And what they'd done is they had just made this little room. It was probably a 10 by 10 room, and they had a little bar at the end. And sure enough, you walked in, and if you ordered something to drink, you knew everybody because you were right on top of them. All right, I mean, everybody was within this tight little space. There were no tables or chairs there at all. So that was an example of the smallest. Now let's throw in what really makes it difficult for anybody to compete with you. And that's when you throw in the subjective adjectives, all right? And let's start with an easy one. This one's gonna be the best, all right? So you can say the state's best, the city's best, the country's best. You can throw in anything, but do something with best. The best.
We have the best coffee in the Midwest.
Best coffee in the Midwest. That's a really good one. Jan, you also have political coffee. You have the most. You have the most politicized coffee in the world, or the most politicized coffee, political coffee in the United States, because they have a Republican and Democratic blend. All right. Anybody else? The best. Okay. Here's another one. We're gonna keep working on this. The most famous. We're the most famous. What?
We have the most famous cooking classes in the Midwest.
There you go. Good. How about the most respected? We're the most respected. Or I'll throw them all out to you. The most respected. Or we're the coolest. Or we're the most fun. Or we're the hippest. All right. Any of those sound good for anybody? Most respected, most famous, coolest, most fun, hippest. Pick one.
We were written up in Best Places Guidebook, and they called us a hip little coffee house. So we're the hippest little coffee house.
The hippest little coffee house, featuring the home of the frozen chicken smoothie. You know, when you hear that, you just go, I have to see this place. Anybody else got a good one for the coolest, most fun, hippest? Anybody else? Okay. The key here is that if you develop this well, if you develop this right, it works exceptionally well. Now, for those of you who are listening in, you might be thinking, you know, why is he harping on this? Because it's so critical for you to get that right. And now here's where the profit and fun part of developing your unique positioning stands out. When I post these notes, I'm going to show you an example of how a boot camp attendee, Leo, his name's Leo Publitz, and he was from Laramie, Wyoming, and he his unique positioning, first sentence, was he had an outdoor store that did ski and climbing and things. And what he said was he has the hippest ski, climb, board and paddle shop in the wild, wild west. All right, so if you listen to that, it's the hippest ski, climb, board, and paddle shop in the wild, wild west. So you cover skiing, climbing, snowboarding, skateboarding, kayaking in the wild, wild west. Five different product lines all wrapped into one sentence. Now, what Leo did with that, and this is a great thing you should do or think about doing. Remember how we talked about you've got these key critical areas that a customer looks at when they walk through your doors. First thing they see is the windows. Then they walk in, they turn and they look to the right generally, so that's your dominant wall, unless your door opens the other way, and it can be the dominant wall on the left. So they look at the dominant wall, they walk around, they make their purchase, they linger in your place, they ask you questions, and when they get ready to leave, they're usually standing at your desk or they're standing at your register. And when they look right ahead, that's another point where they're staring at the wall and they have a moment where their attention gets focused. Now, at those points, the windows, the dominant wall, could be the dominant aisle, or it could be the back bar or the back area behind your desk or behind your register. Those are all great areas to put this unique positioning statement. And especially if you've got really high ceilings. If you've got a high ceiling and you've got walls that are above 10 foot high, oftentimes there's a space right there that you can put that statement. And what you'll see customers do, they will walk in, and whereas they wouldn't read your unique positioning if you stuck it into your local paper, if you paid them, but if you stick it on your dominant wall, you stick it in your window, you put it behind your register area, they will sit there and they will read that. And see, the key there is then if they see it when they're coming in, it justifies and validates that they've made a good decision to come into your business. Subconsciously, they read it and they go, wow, I've made a good choice to come in here. And you're setting them up for the experience. If you put it at the end, of the experience where they're looking at it behind the wall or behind your register, or behind your desk, they are then solidified their impression that this was a great move for me to come in. Now, those key areas are really, really critical. And if you do this right, it becomes really, really powerful. And some of the other things, when I read this tagline this morning from this one advertisement about supplying quality seed with integrity since 1945, I want you to throw out ideas to me. What could be on this company, the Arkansas Valley Seed Company, supplying quality seed with integrity since 1945? What are some of the things that could be on their dominant wall and their front window and their behind their register area that would solidify and make people believe that statement? What are some of the things they could do? Supplying quality seed with integrity since 1945. What are some of the things they could display or put up there where a customer is going to say, I believe that?
Old pictures or old tools that they used?
Perfect. Old props, old tools, old pictures. Old pictures are so great because especially if it's the same owner who's been there all those years, people look up there, they laugh, they see you in your bell bottoms, they see you with your afro, you know, when you look like when you had hair down your shoulders, they look at it and they go, oh my gosh, look at him, and look at her, look at where they've been. And so in a very subtle way, those pictures, those props could reinforce that business. Any other things that you can think of that could go up there? Pictures, props, anything else?
Old articles from the paper?
Great idea. The biggest mistake... Go ahead, Teresa.
Just reprints of, you know, something that may have been written about them back in the day.
And, yeah, and in fact, if, you know, probably the biggest mistake that people make is those reprints, they often keep in exactly the same size, and if you blow them up and make them really obvious, it becomes a real part of history. Hey, we just had somebody join the call. Who's that?
Hi, John. This is Leo in Laramie.
Leo, we were just...
I was called by one of Cindy's associates and told to call in.
Good. I'm glad.
That's okay.
We were just bragging about you, Leo. We were just bragging.
That's what I hear.
Did you really? That's great. Yeah, we were just bragging about your hippest ski climb board and paddle shop in the Wild Wild West tagline on your dominant wall. Talk a little bit about how that works when people come in.
Well, it's the first thing they see when they come in the store. And we put some articles that were in the newspaper about us up there and some local pictures of our customers skiing and climbing and doing different things around. They're all local pictures from around the Laramie area.
Uh-huh.
And so it drove a lot of attention, and we've had a lot of customers wanting to have their picture up there. So we get more and more pictures from time to time.
And so, Leo, do they bring them in? Do they say, here's me, or what happens?
Well, what was that, John?
Do they bring them in to you? Do they say, here's a picture of me skiing or snowboarding?
Yeah, they email them to me, and then I have a friend that blows them up for us.
Okay.
So our only criteria is that it's a good picture. You know, we won't just put any old picture up there.
Yeah, yeah. So
it has to be scenic.
What happens when, have you ever seen new customers come into your store who've never been in there before, and what the effect that wall has on them?
Yeah, I've noticed since the tourists are starting to trickle into town, you know, they want to know where the pictures were taken, and we kind of tell them that, you know, they're all local and those are all our customers. And I just think the people that are up there associate us as their shop.
Yep.
You know, it's more of a hometown kind of thing, I guess.
Yeah. I think that's great, Leo. Yeah, I mean, that's a great example of how easy it can be to create, you know, we talked about at the boot camp, your customer wall of fame. You know, that's essentially what you're creating, Leo. And by doing that, let me ask you this. How does your local competition like that wall?
Well, we've had one guy try to make his own unique positioning statement.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously he didn't go to the boot camp, so he doesn't know how to, you know, how to put it together so it makes sense. So I guess he came up with his own unique positioning statement, but it doesn't quite it's not the same. You know, I don't think he understands exactly how to do it.
Yeah.
And in fact, the other day I was in here early in the morning with most of the lights off, working in the back of the shop, and I had one of our competitors peeking in the window looking at the wall in the front door. He didn't see me.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he was checking it out. I guess they've heard that, you know, that we put people's pictures up.
Yeah, it's hard. See, the thing about this is, no matter, even if he tries to replicate the exact wall, it'll never be.
But they don't have the room to do it.
Well, first, yeah, that's a good point. You've got to have a big space to do it. The second thing is, even if he does duplicate it, what most people would do is they would go to ads from or pictures from magazines, or they would go from generic manufacturers' ads. And by putting your manufacturers' ads and posters and things like that up, I mean, it doesn't make you unique at all. What you've done, Leo, is you've really taken your own people, put them up on the wall, and you're right, they start getting ownership in the business. It becomes participatory. People start wanting to be on that wall. The more they're on the wall, the more they tell their friends they're on the wall. So you start building this momentum when you start building this customer wall of fame. Has anybody else on the call ever created a customer wall of fame? Anybody? Okay. If you haven't, you can create these easily on your... You can create them easily on your dominant wall, and you can create them very powerfully behind your register area. Okay? Couple other reasons why this unique positioning is so important and why coming up with that first sentence is so important. Right now, you've got journalists out there, you've got writers, you've got editors, you've got producers. Producers are on television looking for people to interview. You've got writers who are looking for stories. You've got travel writers that are writing about the fall. You've got radio people that are trying to do different spots to come up with news to fill their afternoon news slots. The key to getting these people to write about you when you start sending out press releases about information about your business, I think, is that unique positioning statement. If you can say, you know, hi, this is Leo from the Big Hoss Mountain Sports, the hippest ski climb board and paddle shop in the Wild Wild West. They will remember that. These people are, you have to market to these people. You've got to court these people. And in that first sentence, remember, these people are called all the time with stories, with different ideas that they could write about. But if you can't hit them with, if you don't hit them with something unique, it's not gonna get through to them. They will not be intrigued by your business. The other thing that I think is really critically important is that when you do define your differences, and when you have made it very clear in your first sentence and in your multiple paragraphs what makes you different, I think it has such an effect on employees. If you can say to them, this is how we're different than any other toy store you're ever going to work at. This is how we're different than any other cooking store you've ever been in. This is how we're different than any gardening store you've ever shopped at or you've ever worked at. All of those ways of you communicating your differences to your employees has exactly the same effect that it has on the customers. It gets them to realize, wow, I've got to really step up my performance to really be part of this team. All right. So going back to the beginning, when we talk about your unique positioning, when people call me and they say, I've got my unique positioning, and they give me some kind of a tagline like the Walgreens ad, where America takes its pictures, understand that's not your unique positioning. It might look good on a letterhead, it might look good on an invoice, it might even look good on your website to have a little tagline that clarifies your position and that is kind of memorable, but you better have a paragraph or two that says how you're totally different than everybody in your industry. And when you download these notes off your Gold member site, go back to those singular difference words that I talked about and that you so enthusiastically contributed to, and then look at the provable and subjective adjectives. And the more of those you can integrate into that statement, the more powerful it's going to become. Okay, if you're on mute, go ahead and unmute you, because we're going to all talk for a second. Hit *6 and unmute yourselves. What I want to make sure everybody knows, we're going to I'm going to talk about real quick here about two of your peers who got great recognition. You might have read about Carrie and Greg Ayersman, who are going to be appearing in the Food Network. Carrie and Greg's store, the Triple X restaurant, their Triple X family restaurant in West Lafayette, Indiana, is going to be in Diners, Dives, and Drive-Ins, is the television show put on by the Food Network on June 10th, I believe. I have it in your next newsletter going out. But they got picked primarily because they, when Greg and Carrie will tell you about this, that when the producer saw their website, when the producer read their materials, when he'd heard from other customers who'd been there bragging about the Triple X, he just said, I have to go see this place. This is one we're going to put on our show. And after they talked to Carrie and after they talked to Greg, they were convinced. The other business that I want to make sure you guys recognize, just hit it big, was Jenny Wilson's business, Moose Mountain Trading Company in Steamboat Springs. She just got highlighted in this month's Entrepreneur Magazine, which is just great, because immediately afterwards, Jenny got local newspaper press from her local paper declaring how she'd just been put in Entrepreneur Magazine. And that was just that just happened, where I had a writer who called me and who said, I need to interview somebody about this, this, and this, and Jenny's business was just perfect. And I said, why don't you try Jenny Wilson? And boom, it immediately happened. So it's very easy that once you get that recognition that you've been an entrepreneur or you've been on the Food Network, now you can put that on your website, it can go on your business cards, it can go on your stationery, it can go on every form of marketing declaring you've been an entrepreneur or you've been in the Food Network, as seen on the Food Network. That, again, leverages your unique positioning. Okay, we've got about 10 minutes left. I'm done with my stuff. I've got one other thing that I might talk to you about. Anybody else want to throw out different questions or accomplishments that you've had come up recently that you want to tell the group about that we can share your delight. Anybody?
John, I've got a quick question for you.
Yeah.
What were you talking about at the beginning of the conference call here about a newsletter?
Oh. Well,
it's online or something?
Yeah, it's and see, some of you guys don't get it. Some of you guys just, I mean, all of you get the printed newsletter.
Right.
But my marketing device, like most of you should have, is my email newsletter. So you can and you should all be getting it, though I think sometimes
I got it last night. It looks really good.
Yeah, well, thanks. That's Cindy, right?
Right.
Yeah, that was Peggy. That was Peggy's work. She she got in there and mastered Constant Contact. Yeah. Yeah, it is a it's just an email newsletter. It's, you know, I mean, it's a marketing selling tool. It talks about the two success stories we just talked about. It talks about the advantage of the success network. It talks about you know, signing up for the boot camp, and that's about it. So it's,
how do we go about signing up for this if we didn't get it?
Oh, just go go online to my website, johnschallert.com, and right there at the bottom on every one of our pages now, we've got a little box, and it says sign up for our free email newsletter. And just type your email news, just type your email address and your name in there, and click the box, and you will get the newsletter. So you'll be able to see it. You'll be able to see how this this Constant Contact, if you aren't using this program, it is so easy to use. You know,
it's
once,
awesome.
Yeah, is that Teresa?
Yeah.
Yeah, you use it, and Cindy, you use it, right?
Right,
The winery uses it.
Oh, and you guys use it? Okay, great. I think you guys were one of the first, at the winery, I think you guys were one of the first to use it.
Yeah.
Other questions or comments you guys want to throw out for the last 10 minutes? How about accomplishments? What's somebody, anything you've accomplished recently you'd like to share with the group that's kind of cool about being a destination?
I've been having some of the local people come over, just the local shopkeepers.
Uh-huh.
And specifically using the word destination with me, as far as we're trying to become a destination too. And so it's really kind of nice that there's a little bit of people that are talking, not like they want to come and join up together yet, but
right.
At least there's still a little bit of a buzz going on, and they're excited and they want to share it too, and I think they're coming over to take a look to see what some of us have been doing, and it's just kind of fun to
yep.
see that, just a little one.
And anyone else? That's great, Cindy. Yeah, that is great. Here's one of the things that's going to happen this summer. This is one of the last things I want to talk to you about today. All of you are reading, starting to, you know, see in the paper and feel the impact of these increasing gas prices. And one of the things that that's happening is all the reporters across the country are starting to write stories. Like, in fact, this morning in the Associated, or actually in the Washington Post, they did a study. ABC, Washington Post, ABC News poll did a study and found that most Americans, 6 out of 10 Americans, say that even though gas prices are a hardship, that only 11% said that soaring prices would curtail their driving habits in the coming weeks. And only 3 in 10 said they might skip a summer road trip. In fact, most people said they would not cut back on their driving until prices reached the average price they said would stop them, would be between $4.38 a gallon and $5.12 a gallon. All right? So if you think about that, we're at $3.30, $3.10, somewhere in there right now. So they're saying it's got to go up a buck or two before we change our habits. So what's going to happen, and this might have already happened to some of you in your local communities, what's going to happen is your local reporter is going to come out, and they're going to say to businesses, and they're going to ask the impression of what's happening in your local community's economy because of gas prices. And one of the best lines you can say is this: you can talk to them in terms of you being a destination, and that you, and whether you think it's going to totally impact your sales or not. I think this gas price, personally, I think gas prices are causing your lower tier customers who have less income, I think it's causing them to curtail a lot of their discretionary spending. I'm hearing that from different businesses around the country. And I think it's going to cause, as it did in the past summers, I think it's going to cause more consumers to go on vacations regionally rather than nationally. So I think people will be doing these, you know, 2 and 3 hour getaways and experiencing areas in their immediate vicinity. So one of the things that's going to happen is reporters are going to, they're either going to go to your Chamber of Commerce, or they're going to go to AAA, or they're going to go to some place, and they're going to start asking the question, how are these gas prices impacting our businesses? What if you want to be proactive, what you'll do is you will call your local paper now and say to them, hey, I don't know if you just read this story in the Washington Post this morning, but in the Washington Post it says that nearly 6 out of 10 Americans say that even though gas is going up, only 11% are actually going to change their habits, and only 3 in 10 might actually skip a summer trip. And you might say to them then, so what you're doing is you're letting them know about this national news story that they might not be aware of. And then what you do is you come right behind it with your own statement and you say, you know what, we don't really worry about it that much because we're more of a destination. We're more of a destination business. And then you can go back to your unique positioning and say something like, you know, we're the home of the frozen chicken smoothie. We have the oldest storefront in Hanford, and because of our historic nature and our unique products, we find people still come to us even when that happens. Now, why that's important is because even if you don't believe it, by stating it helps make it so. What's going to happen is a lot of these reporters will immediately go back and quote you. They'll quote you as saying you're a destination. They will quote and write out verbatim your unique positioning. And if you do this right, if you contact your local paper and say, hey, you know, even if you don't give them the statistics I just read, even though that you could just go online and you could download this story from the Washington Post. Even if you just say, maybe you guys are wondering about how gas prices are going to hurt our local businesses. We think this, and I think this, that because we're more of a destination, it's not going to impact us as much. But it's going to give you that free publicity, because whether they're asking you about this story now or later, they're going to ask. They are going to come around because this is the hot topic, and one of the easiest ways to tie into and get publicity for your business is to recognize a national topic and then tie into a local comment on that situation. All right. Anybody want to contribute to that, or anybody got any thoughts?
I have just more of a question. This is Cindy. Mm-hmm. I tend to not think of myself as being completely unique, and you've been trying to help me with that. But I don't know how to make that statement interesting enough to the local paper or anyone else, as far as, you know, I'm excited about my store, but I'm not so sure how to get that across to them in a manner that they would think it's exciting.
Because they know you, right, Cindy?
Yeah.
The local paper, the people, they know you
more
really
or less,
well.
Yeah.
When Cindy, I'm going to play kind of ask you questions to kind of pull this out of you. But right now, how far do people drive? What's the furthest distance people drive to come to your cooking store?
Do the cooking classes, we pull them in from Nebraska, from we've had people coming in from Wichita, Kansas, just because they've heard of it. They're coming in to town and they want to plan a special event type of a thing.
So let me ask you this. People from Wichita, Kansas, or people coming in from Nebraska? I mean, Wichita, Kansas, that's a day's drive to get to you. Somebody who comes up from Wichita, Kansas, do they end up staying there for the weekend, something like that?
Generally they're here for the weekend.
Okay.
They'll pop in a couple times during the week and say hi, and we have a fellow that comes from Michigan, and I'm his knife resource.
Okay. Yeah.
Which is kind of fun, but so I see him a couple times a year. But
Cindy, that's how you'll convince the paper. So if a journalist is not familiar with you, you will use your unique positioning statement to to catch their attention, where you say we're the home of the chicken, frozen chicken smoothie. We are the we have the largest selection of this. We're, you know, and you use that on somebody who doesn't know you. For somebody who knows you, you use, again, you're using testimonials, essentially customer testimonials of your success. So what you can do is you can say to the local paper, you know, I don't know if you're planning on writing this story. This is one of the easiest ways to start it. I don't know if you're planning on writing a story on the effect of gas prices on local businesses, but let me tell you this. Here's what I'm seeing. We get people who literally will come up from Michigan. We get customers who come in from Wichita, Kansas, and Nebraska. And you can say to the person, what we find is they will often come here, spend the night, spend multiple days, and do a lot of things in our community, and then they leave. So, yes, they're making a long trip, but it's not like they're just driving around. They come here, they stay, they make these decisions and shopping purchases. So by giving them something concrete, Cindy, that's impressive, that's going to get on there. That's going to make them perk up and pay attention.
Okay, right. Thank you.
Yeah. Other questions?
John at the winery. Can I interject?
Go ahead, John.
Cindy, reporters are notoriously overworked and lazy. You write out exactly what you want it to say, they'll probably print it word for word.
Oh, that's cool.
That's what the experience I have locally is.
Yeah,
you just hand it to them, or you're just
email.
Okay.
Works nicely, and offer to have them come to your place to conduct a follow-up.
Okay.
Great idea, John. How's that worked with John? Talk a little bit about one of the times that's worked for you.
Usually, if we win a medal at a wine competition, we send out a news release,
mm-hmm.
and it is almost always printed word for word. We use generally three newspapers in our area. I'm near Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, so clearly I'm the only destination in the area.
Right.
But they're hungry for local news. I mean, the editor has told me, we're here for locals.
That happens with us quite often, too, in Hanford, and the tagline of who it's written by, even though you wrote it word for word, then our paper's called the Hanford Sentinel, so they'll say that this article was written by Sentinel staff.
Yeah, and I don't even care if they do that.
No, me either. It's just funny. You know, it's just interesting how they'll take it, and no, I think it's just ironic, but it's great.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a wonderful thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's, anybody else have had success with this? It's a little, yeah, I mean, yeah, for you guys actually writing it out, yeah, you have to be willing to sit down, write it out, check your grammar, do your good first opening paragraph that's going to be a, you know, reverse, it's called the reverse pyramid order when you write a journalistic release. You start with the most important things and you work down to the least important things. But it's, yeah, it works when you do it. They will jump on it. In fact, that's your point about local papers. That is their only difference. They can't report national news these days as well as a website can. They can't, you know, everybody can get any kind of news from any national service. The only advantage they have is the local angle. That's the only advantage. And so that's the, you know, for their survival, they've got to go after that local angle. Anybody want to add anything else? Okay. Well, what we've got today, I've recorded the call. I'm going to be uploading it to your Gold Level website. So if you want to listen to it again, you want to get ideas, feel free to go there and you can open it up and listen to the MP3 file. I'm also going to be placing, Peg's going to be sticking the notes on the Gold Level website this afternoon. So you'll have those if you want to go back and refresh. But otherwise, everybody, thanks for joining me. Thanks for contributing. And you guys have a good a good Thursday and a good weekend this weekend.
Thank you, John.
All right, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, John.
Bye, John.
Bye-bye.